The rest of us, we're going to continue the series we opened on spiritual warfare, as today will be spiritual warfare part 3. And if you want to turn in your Bibles with me, and I hope you do, to Ephesians 5, verses 17 through 21, that's the passage that we will begin in tonight today. Ephesians 5, 17 through 21. Last week we finished up talking about the fact that we must come to understand that the enemy uses three basic emotions to ensnare us, and we looked at three biblical examples of that. Those being the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Satan attacks us in those three emotions. Now today we want to start out talking about the idea that we must receive a continual infilling of the Holy Spirit. It was never intended to be a one and done deal. We need a constant flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Look with me in Ephesians 5, beginning to read in verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just thank you for this series on spiritual warfare that we are in. And we just pray that you will direct it, Lord, that you will direct me, that I would only speak the words that you've ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less. And in all of it, Lord, our desire is that you are glorified and that we grow up in you. So have your way this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we must receive a continual infilling of the Holy Spirit. Every day I need to be filled with the Spirit of God before my feet hit the floor next to my bed. Why? Because I leak. We all do. We leak. We are earthen vessels, if you will. We are flesh. We are cracked pots. Right? So therefore, we are cracked pots and we leak. So we need an ongoing filling every day of our lives so that we can conquer the things that we deal with each and every day of our lives. Don't we deal with a lot of different things in our lives? Life is not easy. At least it's not for me. I trust it's not easy for you either. We have tough things in this world. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. So when we are in Christ, because he's an overcomer, we're overcomers. So, notice that in this text that we just read, the infilling affects specific things in our lives. First one we see is in verse 19 of our text, where it says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. So, one of the things the infilling affects is our speech and our hearts. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the infilling of the Holy Spirit affects our hearts, which affects what we speak. Alright? So, I want to pick this verse apart a little bit, though. where it says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, we had a hymn today, didn't we? We had a hymn. We do that sometimes. But the rest of them were what would fall under the category of spiritual songs. Right? That's good. There have been, over the years, what came to be called worship wars. When more modern music hit the scene and praise choruses hit the scene, the churches, the traditional churches of the time, and by the way, I used to pastor one. I pastored First Baptist Church in Comanche, and I was told when I was trying to introduce some new music, I was told by a God-loving saint, she was just a great lady, but she was set in her ways. And I was trying to introduce some more modern music that were what falls under this heading of spiritual songs. And this woman came to my office to see me at church one day and was not happy. "Well, I don't like what you're doing to our church." That was what I was told. I said, "Okay, you have that right to feel that way. You have cried to me that none of your grandchildren come to church. Do you want your grandchildren to come to church? Because if all we have is music that was written 100 years ago, or even 50 years ago, they're not going to be interested. They're going to check out. They're going to stay gone. If that's all that we have." And she said, "Well, if they really get saved, they'll want the same music I do." She ended up telling me the same thing when I advocated that we should get rid of, we had old church, had pew Bibles. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And they were in the pews. And they were so old that the covers were falling off of some of them, and there were pages falling out of them. Okay? Brother Joe's up here grinning. He knows. long story short, she also then told me when I wanted to get rid of them old Bibles, and by the way, the reason they had been there for 100 years is because, or more, is because they had been donated. They had a sticker with people's names in them that had donated them 4 generations ago. And because of that, you couldn't get rid of them. God help us. bad thing. Anyway, she also then told me when I said I wanted to put a more modern language in that young people would understand, if we're going to have pew Bibles, let's put a Bible in that is the language of today so that the kids are going to want to come to church and actually... I was preaching out of what I preach out of now, the NIV. Do I reference other languages? Other translations? And do I sometimes go back to the original language when it's relevant, when there's something I want you to see? Yes, I do. But I preach out of NIV because it's in a language that people can understand today. But I was told by her, if they really get saved, then they'll want the King James Bible too. And I said, probably not, because they don't speak in that language. They don't know what thee, thou, they don't know what that is. All right, and don't want to. they want to be able to come and worship if they come and worship in a language that they can understand. Now, when I'm talking about languages, you need to understand, things have changed a lot just in my lifetime. I'm 65 years old, and I can remember when I was a little boy, that they had just quit at First Reformed Church here in town having a Dutch service. They literally had the service in Dutch. Dutch language. How many of you speak fluent Dutch here today? That wouldn't work very good, would it? You get my point, right? In verse 21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That is not talking about letting go of your convictions, godly convictions, that are rooted in absolutes of Scripture. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is talking about things that shouldn't matter that much, that we submit to one another. When it comes down to just preference, maybe it's better to just let it go for the peace of Christ. Amen? So, that's what we see that will happen when you are Spirit-led, because you are in the continual infilling of the Holy Spirit, then our speech and our heart changes. All right? And then we won't be so regimented about our own preferences that much. If we are really regimented, then there's always a different church that has what you want. You understand what I'm saying? There's no sense in fighting about it and destroying a church because of personal preference. Right? All right. The second thing we see is in verse 20. And it says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, the constant infilling of the Holy Spirit affects our relationship to God. It affects our relationship to God. When we are welled up with the power of the Spirit, we are more apt to worship Him in spirit and truth. And that is what we are called to do. Is it not? We are called to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, how many of you, let's be honest, this is church. How many of you, sometimes when you get to church, or you're getting ready to come to church, you feel about as spiritual as last week's pair of socks? You know what I'm saying? But when you get here, and you get in the presence of God in the house, among other believers, and you begin to converse with them and experience the love of God through other people, then we find ourselves being lifted up out of the whatever it was, the despair, the depression, whatever it was, the oppression. There are many things that Satan uses that he wants to tear us down. But we were told in the Word of God not to forsake the gathering together. Why? Because, first of all, we need to meet with God corporately. And second of all, whether you know it or not, we need each other. I need you, you need each other, and you need me. That's the way God ordained it. That's the way He made it. And when we get a constant flow of God's Spirit filling us, then we'll have that desire to do what it says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it clearly affects our relationship to God. Thirdly, in verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So this affects our relationship with others, as I was just talking about a few moments ago. It affects our relationship with others. Being constantly filled with the Spirit of God, we then are also experiencing the development of the fruit of the Spirit. Alright? And the fruit of the Spirit is love. With 8 attributes of love. Okay? The fruit of the Spirit is love. So, when we are constantly being filled by the Holy Spirit, this constant flow. In other words, when we constantly decide, I'm going to live underneath the spout where the glory comes out. All right? We're going to live under the spout where the glory comes out. And as a result, we'll be better people because God is in the business of taking freaks and making people out of them. Now, why do I say that? Because I've had people over the years that called me Jesus freak. Wrong answer for them. Because on every occasion, if I had the opportunity to get right up in their face, I said, you don't understand. God doesn't take people and make freaks out of them. He takes freaks and makes people out of them. So the world's got it backwards. Amen. So, we must receive a continual infilling of the Holy Spirit. And it is our responsibility to chase after God with all our might, every day of our lives. Don't just depend on the weekend coming to church to do all of your feeding for the week. Please don't do that. If I were the best orator in the world, I still couldn't adequately fill you enough in the short time that we have together on the weekend to carry you through another whole week. You have got to maintain your relationship with Christ when you're not in church, so that you are under that spout I was talking about where the glory comes out. Does that make sense to y'all? Does that challenge you? So, we then, after we are in a situation where we are seeking after God and we are under the spot where the glory comes out, we're walking, we begin to walk in the Spirit. Okay? So that's our next point. Walk in the Spirit. We need to learn how to walk. When we were children, little babies, we went through a process of learning to roll over. Then the next thing was we learned to scoot on our bellies across the carpet, maybe. Then the next thing is you're up on your hands and knees and you're rocking. How many of you have raised kids? You know what I'm talking about. And then they're up there and they're rocking and you're saying, do it, do it, come on, do it. Do it! And they take that first move and begin to crawl. And we're so excited because they're starting to get the hang of this. And then, from there, they're crawling. And the next thing they're doing is they're crawling up next to the sofa or a chair. And they've got a hold of something. And they're standing up. And then we're coaching them. Oh, come on! Do it! Step out! Take that first step! Get out there and walk! Isn't that true? And we're so excited, and nowadays we got smartphones, and we got the camera going on the smartphone, and we're getting video of it all, because we got all the technology now, and then we send it to 150 people that we know, because we're so excited. They took their first step. And it's great. Just so you know, it's still exciting when you got great-grandchildren that are here. Just so you know. But you know what? As cool as that is, none of that has ever excited me as much as watching new believers go through that process in the Spirit and then begin to learn to walk in the Spirit. That excites me even more because they're maturing. That is the sign that they are maturing in their faith. Am I making sense to you? Galatians 5 and verse 25, I intentionally didn't read this earlier. Galatians 5 and verse 25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. It's a challenge. It takes us drawing close to God, and He then draws close to us. And in that process, we learn to keep in stride with God, not falling behind Him and not running out ahead of Him, but walking by the Spirit and thereby keeping in step with the Spirit. Isn't that something? You can do that. You can do that. The enemy will tell you that you can't. I'm here to tell you, you can do that. God would not put it in His Word if it wasn't possible for us to live that way. By the anointing you receive through the infilling, you will be able to walk in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, God begins to do supernatural things in you and through you. You need to understand, in the 40 years that I've been walking with Christ, He has directed me so many times, spoken things to me that I could have never known in the natural. He has spoken to me to stop what I'm doing. When I was in my shop, there were countless times he stopped me, told me, put your wrenches down, go wash your hands, go here and carry this message to this person. Now, you might think that sounds crazy, but I'm telling you the truth. Countless times that has happened to me. It happened when Pastor Phil Sneller was here. Do you remember that? He had only been here a little while, and God did that with me. And I went, and I stood at the door, stopped at the door of his study at the church, and I had only met him once. And I tapped on the door frame, and he looked up. He was behind his desk on his computer, I believe working on a sermon. And he looked up, and he said, "What can I do for you?" And the Spirit of God welled up in me, and I said, "It's not what you can do for me, it's what I can do for you." And I said, "Thus says the Lord," and I spoke what God gave me for a message for him. And he fell right out of his desk chair, on his face, in his office, in the carpet, and was weeping before God. Because the message that I had brought to him under the unction of the Spirit was exactly what had been burdening him. It was an answer. Now, I'm telling you that not to make myself look like something, because I'm not. All I have done is learn to listen to the Spirit and then walk in the Spirit. Put into action what I hear from the Spirit. That is one example. And as a result of that, he and I became accountability partners. We started meeting early every Friday morning. And for 9.5 years, we met regularly. We prayed with one another. We would call each other when we were going through different things. That's one example. There were other people over the years that God would just stop me and tell me, "Go here and say this to this person." And I just do it. It's, you know, how many of you know that's kind of scary? You know, you kind of want to know you got it right. But countless times it has happened and impacted people. God works that way. He can be God all by himself, but he chooses to work through his people. And if he can find a humble vessel that won't take any of the glory for themselves, that is walking in the power of the Spirit, he will work those kinds of things in you and through you to direct and to bless his people. So by the anointing you receive through the infilling, you'll be able to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit means to be led by the Spirit, meaning we obey Him and follow Him daily. Obedience is absolutely, it just has to be. If you're going to walk in that kind of a flow of the Spirit, you've got to learn to obey what the Spirit says, even when it makes no sense. Some of the things He stopped me and called me to do, I mean, there were times I felt like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm doing this, but God's leading me." And I just walk in the Spirit with Him and go and do that thing. And every single time that I got it right, was clearly walking in the Spirit, God did a miracle. Every single time. And He still does. He still does. It's been 40 years. That all started the day after I prayed in the evening to give my life to Christ on November 16, 1982. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, repented of my sin. The next morning, I began to walk in the Spirit. He directed me. He directed me up to my sister, my oldest sister's house. Because we had been, let's say, her and my brother-in-law, our relationship had been fractured. Okay? Big time. All right? And the Spirit of God, I went for a walk, and the Spirit of God said, go this way. And He said, turn here. And I turned, and I walked up. I found the Spirit of God led me to their house. I told them what had happened the night before. I asked their forgiveness. And God healed that relationship. That was the next morning. I was just a brand new born again. If we are open to the leading of the Spirit of God, expect God to do stuff like that in you and through you. And through that, He'll restore relationships. He will restore breaches in all kinds of things. He will direct your life. He will fulfill in your life what Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says. You guys all got that one memorized, right? If you don't, look that up. I'm not going to give it to you today. I don't feel like I'm going to let you look it up if you don't know. So walking in the Spirit means to be led by the Spirit. If we are not allowing God to be Lord of our lives, you can forget being led by the Spirit. He has to be Lord and Savior if you're going to have that kind of leading in your life. And I'm here to tell you, living in that flow of the Spirit is spiritual warfare. The devil can't mess with that. So, learning to walk in the Spirit, and then the next thing we want to look at is living in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit. Verse 16 of Galatians 5. Again, I intentionally didn't read that earlier. And verse 16 says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Live by the Spirit, and the result of that is you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. God will clean up our lives. He'll clean up our sinful nature. We'll overcome those things that have been strongholds in our lives of sin. For years, He will clean them up. If we will learn to live in the Spirit. Like He said, again, I can't say this often enough. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. As we learn to walk in the Spirit, God will enable us to live in the Spirit and give us power to escape from the grip of temptation. How many of you will admit temptation sometimes comes and grips? How many of you admit that? Yeah. Yeah. But boy, when we're practicing a life led by the Spirit of God, we've got victory, man. We got victory over the devil. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. It says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now, I could have preached a 40-minute message on this passage alone. I want to tell you something. There's a lot packed in this verse. Okay? First of all, Paul, in this verse, starts off giving us hope. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. We tend to think that the temptations that we deal with are some kind of special temptations. That's not what it says there, is it? They're all temptations that are common to man. In other words, we're not unique in that. Sometimes we think we're unique in the temptations that we have. We tend to make ourselves believe that because then we can set that up to be an excuse. Well, I've just had tougher temptations than everybody else. That's why I fold to it sometimes. Wrong. Man. Wrong. We can't do that. We can't get away with that. Because we always have to go back. What's God's word say? Well, God's word says no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. God will not allow me to be tempted beyond what I can stand against in the power that He has given me. See, that gives me a lot of hope. It also convicts me. Because I can't use that excuse. I gave an example. The times when I have acted on temptation, I don't have that excuse. The times that we act on those things that we're tempted with, we have no excuse because God didn't allow us to be tempted beyond what He equipped us to bear. He equipped us to bear whatever the temptations are that come into our lives before the temptation even came. Well, you might say, how did God do that? Well, He knows the beginning from the end and everything in between. Isn't that true? But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. You know, there's a saying that people have used for centuries. I don't know, maybe even thousands of years. And that is, the devil made me do it. Again, that don't work. The devil can't make me or you do anything. He don't have that power. And ironically, our God does have the power, but He won't violate our free will. He gave you and me, everyone, a free will, but He will not violate that free will. See, I told you, this verse will preach. It'll almost preach itself. I'm just going to get involved in it a little. He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. He knew before, So he equipped us before the temptation ever came. And he had made sure that he provided a way out for us. But sometimes we do it our own way. See, if we're walking by the power of the Spirit, if we're walking in the Spirit, which means we are obeying Him, then the Spirit of God will whisper in our hearts, convicting word, get out of there, get away from that, don't do that. Where we get in trouble is when that still small voice comes, we begin to ignore it, because remember, we got that thing that's in us from the time we were a tiny little baby, I want. I want. Two words. I want. Those are huge, huge words when it comes to temptation. See, that's another reason that it don't work for us to say the devil made me do it. It just plain don't work. See, some temptation that we get, we can blame the devil for bringing the temptation. But a lot of temptation that we get comes from our own flesh. And the devil gets a lot of credit for things that we blame him for, but it came right up out of our own flesh. Could I get one or two witnesses today? Because we got a tendency to want to do what we want to do. But we as believers, as we are controlled by the Spirit, I don't even like to use the word control, because again, we've got a free will. God gave us a free will. But when we are obeying God, and He's directing our lives, then we are walking in the power of the Spirit. We cannot be pitiful and powerful at the same time. See, people that are powerful in God are not living pitifully with Him. People that are truly powerful. See, a person that is powerful in the Spirit, when they are addressing demons, they don't have to yell. It's not about putting a show on. I've seen people that are powerful in the Spirit walk up to people that you could see, identify that they were demon-possessed, and walk up to them and say, in the name of Jesus, be gone. And it's broken. See, loud doesn't necessarily mean powerful.
Right.
We can be pitiful and be loud. But we can't be pitiful and be powerful at the same time. He will also provide a way out, so that you can stand up under it. My friends, that's some key spiritual warfare. Walking in the power of the Spirit is spiritual warfare. Psalm 119, verse 11. Our psalmist says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So as we are walking in and filling the constant flow of God's Spirit, as we are doing that, we also need to be hiding the word of God in our hearts on a regular basis. Now do you see why a little bit ago in this service, in this sermon, I told you, if you're only getting what I'm giving you on the weekend, you're not getting enough. Even if I was the best orator in the whole world, and just to be clear, I know I'm not. It wouldn't be enough. We have our own individual responsibility to make sure that we get fed every day. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, the weapons of our warfare are the Word of God, the name of Jesus. Who's got the third one?
Blood.
And the blood. Thank you. Those three are the weapons of our warfare. Those are weapons. So we need to hide the Word of God in our hearts regularly. Regularly. Not talking about if you go a day without reading something in the Word, that's going to cast you into hell. It's not what we're talking about here. In this series, I'm trying to teach you how to walk in a life where you will live victorious in this life while you're here on earth. God has given us everything we need to live in this life victoriously. He's equipped us. And hiding His Word in our hearts on a regular basis helps us to stand strong because it's food for our spirit. The Word of God is food for our soul, food for our spirit, that strengthens our spirit so that we will not have, we'll overcome that tendency to sin against Him. Last point I want to look at today is the fact that reacting in the right way is warfare. To every action there is a
reaction.
That's a fact. Something we learned in school a long time ago, if you're anywhere near my age. It was a long time ago we learned that. I'm kind of amazed I even remembered that. I was not a very good student back then. But to every action, there is a reaction. So, we react to things in our life. The key is to react as believers in the right way. Reacting in the wrong way causes problems. Isn't that true? So, adversity is part of life in a fallen world, and no one is exempt. I don't care who you are. You're going to have adversity. How we react to that adversity determines how victorious we will live in this life. How many of you really despise adversity? Be honest. It's not fun, is it? There are people that are very much will avoid confrontation at any cost. That's the way some people are made up. They just want to avoid confrontation at any cost. But it seems there are other people that thrive in the midst of confrontation. Isn't that true? God made us all different, thank God. He made us all different. point is, adversity is part of life in a fallen world. We have adversity because we have sinful people, because we live in a fallen world. It's why Jesus Christ had to come to redeem lost humanity. Psalm 34, verse 19. Psalm 34, verse 19. Says a righteous man may have many troubles. Raise your hand if that sounds like you. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from some of them. You're laughing because you're actually following along, aren't you? We tend to treat God like he delivers us from some of them, don't we? Be honest. But in reality, what the Word of God says is that it delivers him from them all. He delivers us from them all. Now, mind you, that doesn't mean that deliverance from them comes immediately. See, there's things in Scripture that make that pretty clear. For example, as one man sharpens another, right? As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You got that person that you work with that it seems like they're just like a file on you. Every day you go to work, they're working on you. And you've been praying, God, take them out. Don't kill them, just get them out of here. And we can't understand why it doesn't change. Maybe we're reacting wrong. Maybe God put that person there to file on us because there's some things he wants off of us. Am I making sense? God puts us in situations like that for a season sometimes to shape us. How about if I add shape us up? To shape us up. But then after the shaping is done, then he delivers us from them all in his time. See, those are situations where in our own strength, we try to fix it ourselves. Wrong reaction. Every time I have done that, it's blown up in my face. I'm just being honest. Every time I have tried to take that thing and I'm going to fix this. I'm going to wrestle with it. Blows up in my face. Because I was doing it in my own strength. My reaction was wrong. Instead of humbling myself in the sight of the Lord and allowing him to work his work in me through this thing and allowing him to then deliver me out of it when he had accomplished what he wanted to accomplish in the midst of that. You're either going to sleep because I'm preaching lousy or I'm preaching good and you're real quiet as you're thinking about it. Final scripture for today. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Reacting in the right way is warfare, guys. That is spiritual warfare. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Our problem is when we get in the midst of adversity and we end up letting ourselves get angry. Right? We do. We let ourselves get mad. M-A-D-D-D-D-D-D-D-D-D-D. I'm talking mad. Then we start leaning on our own understanding. And we forget all about trusting in the Lord. True? When we lose our trust in the Lord in a given situation, the first thing we run to is our own understanding. And where does our understanding come from? Past experience. We tap into our past experiences for the understanding that we have right now. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. Verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. There it is again. In all your ways acknowledge Him. In other words, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the power of the Spirit. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. When we start going back to our own understanding, our path seems to always be crooked. Can I get a witness? Because we go too far this way and then we overcorrect and we come too far back, slingshot back the other way, right?
Boomerang!
You remembered! Boomerang. All right, guys, I'm done. I'm going to quit there. We're out of time. Glory, hallelujah. Did you learn something today? Did you get challenged? Let's stand together, please. Father, we just thank You for this time together. We have been enriched through Your Word, Father God, and by the power of Your Spirit. And we pray as we leave here today, that, Lord, throughout this week, we will reflect on, remember, and put into practice the things that we have heard from Your Word today. I pray that by the power of Your Spirit, You will seal this Word in our hearts today, that, Lord, it will transform us into lean, mean, devil-wrecking machines, Lord. We give You praise for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. We love you.